Before Jason shares today's scripture with us, I wanted to share with you what's going on in the scripture. Peter was living in Joppa, about 36 miles south of Caesarea, and there was a man who lived there named Cornelius. He was a Roman soldier, one of about 1,000 in that place. He was someone who was interested in God. He was a devoted man, and he obeyed what he thought he should. He felt a call to leave pagan idolatry and go towards the law of Moses, a law that he heard as one calling for helping poor and needy. He desired to know God more, and he had a hunger for the coming of a Messiah. He had a vision that he should send for a Simon, the one called Peter, and so he did. And Peter had a vision that he should go with those who called on him. And so he did. And when they were all together in one place, Cornelius prophetically said, in verse 33, "So now all of us are here in the presence of God to listen to all that the Lord has commanded you, Peter, to say." And Peter started talking. Talked about God's impartiality. He talked about peace that was brought by Christ. He talked about John the Baptist, the death of Jesus, the resurrection, Peter's own call to discipleship and forgiveness.
And our reading is today is from Acts 10, 44 through 48. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Invited to stay, like really invited, like they meant it. Today, as we hear in the book of Acts in our scripture reading, I hope that you hear that there was an invitation from God and that that invitation is extended to you to abide in God's love, both with God and in the community. Let us pray. Dear God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, we pray. Today I'd like you to think about, I invite you to think about a time when you didn't fit in. When you were uncomfortable. When you didn't know the practice or the history or the customs or the language. You can't think of a time, then it's time to go have one of those experiences very soon. Right? But for those of you who have that in your head, I want you to think of what it meant to feel like the odd one out. Like the one that didn't quite understand the uncomfortableness of feeling alone, even amongst a group of people, when you were surrounded. In this book of Acts, the story we hear, it's written after Jesus' death and resurrection and Jesus' ascension. It's in a time when Jesus' disciples are still alive who remembered those incidences, those occurrences, because they had lived through them. And as we heard, they follow and obey Jesus' commandments. We don't use the word obey a lot in our present day, because there seems to be these deep-rooted challenges of people doing what they're told to do. And when we remember some of those obeying times in history, we remember that what followed for some were questions about why horrific acts of violence happened. Because some followed without question. But today we, or at least I, give thanks to Peter, for Peter and for his commitment to do what he was asked to do, what he was maybe required or expected or desired of him. for Peter, obeying Jesus' commandment. He went where he was called to go. This time, as it was felt in a vision, and when he went there, he shared the good news with the people that were there, that weren't like him, but had the same desire of their hearts to know God and to know Jesus. And during that encounter, as recorded in the Bible, the Holy Spirit showed up in that place and poured out over all, the expected recipients and the unexpected ones, and they were baptized in the name of Christ. It's kind of a fiery, exciting scripture, if you let me. Now, here at Crossroads, we've had some expected and some unexpected baptisms. Your children, your grandchildren, they've had the waters of life poured out on them, or splashed on them at least, right? Yeah, in the years that you have been here, you have sat in the presence of God and witnessed the calling of the Spirit over tap water and asked the Spirit to make it more than that. To bring the water to life so that the one who was before you could be marked with love and welcomed into the body of Christ. You've been here for that. And I am sure that you have had some baptisms for people whose names and faces have been forgotten due to their absence from this community. Perhaps they weren't ours to start with, right? And even through the Blessed Sacrament that we extended by this church, they've chosen to not live it out here, in this place. For some folks, that stings a little bit, right? I guess a different word might be, some might get peeved, right? Don't be. It's understandable, but don't be, because when we extend an invitation, we're not extending it from our table or from our font, but from God's. And yet, I know that when you extend an invitation from your heart and it's turned down, it can leave you with questions. You might examine yourself, this church, our intentions, our hospitality, and sometimes it makes us examine our own faith and what we believe. Peter stood amongst a group of people, hopeful people, and he told them that if they believed, they should be baptized in the name of Jesus. He wasn't at home when he did this. He wasn't in his comfortable place. He wasn't in a place where he was supposed to be, right? He didn't put restrictions on those getting baptized or on the way that they should now practice their faith, but he extended an invitation to the family of God. And for that example that Peter gives today, I give thanks. I want to tell you a choice I didn't make in life. I didn't choose to be United Methodist. Well, not at first, anyway. I just grew up that way. Is that anybody else's story? Yeah, my parents both grew up in the United Methodist Church, miles and miles away from each other, both confirmed in their faith, both United Methodist churches, and when they got married, they attended, participated, and raised their children in the same church that my dad had grown up in, the church where my grandparents attended and had attended since they got married at age 18, the church that my grandfather grew up in. That's just the church we went to. That was our church, right? The building changed about the year my sister was baptized, but other than that, it's the same, right? I don't remember ever asking to go to another church, perhaps other churches' youth groups, because ours was always small. Right? And I do remember in high school an overwhelming feeling of jealousy towards the kids who went to the Catholic Church. I wanted to be in a four-year confirmation class like they were. For 2 years, they got to meet together every Wednesday night. A whole group of peers. Every week, they got to meet together and talk about God together in that space. And then for two more years, they got to have a mentor, and they got to do all these field trips, and they got to be required to sit in church together. Oh, I was so jealous. But even during that time, I never dug into what it meant to be part of my church, Yes, I got confirmed in a quick four-month, our pastors leave a better do it quick kind of way. Yeah, but I didn't think about how our church belongs socially, or how we were supposed to behave, or where we were supposed to invest our money because of the church that we were a part of. I just went to church. I sat by my mother. I invited my grandparents and my aunt and uncles to come over after church for the lunch that she had prepared for us, sometimes much to her dismay. Yeah. It's where I sang and learned the songs, the hymns, right? It's where I prayed. It's where we had vacation Bible school. We got to eat popsicles outside in the yard. Yeah. It was where I belonged. And I preached there when I was asked to, because Grandpa wasn't able to fill in sometimes. And I went there and I worshiped. And I learned how to serve people. Not United Methodist people, just people. One day in that church, we heard that a woman had been assigned to be our next pastor. And from the lectern, I heard a terrible list of reasons why she wasn't a good fit for us, read by one of our members. And she came and served. And since then, for most of the years since then, a woman has led in that church, baptizing and inviting people to come and stay. Last Sunday night in this church, I had the privilege to baptize one of our children that participates in our Hispanic fellowship nights. It was a blessing, but not just a sacrament, a blessing that I participated in. And then I got to watch and hear Becky say that this quilt that she was wrapping this little girl up in, that it was a quilt to wrap her up in love. And Becky meant it. And the little girl knew it. And she wore it like it was love. And the Holy Spirit was here in this place. And I'm sorry, I cannot describe for you what that means, to have the Holy Spirit in this place. It's a feeling, it's an understanding, it's something you just know. And if you've never experienced it, I'm sorry, we'll try to find a time when you can feel the Holy Spirit. I believe the Holy Spirit was in this place. And I believe that you, as the body of Christ that worship here, I believe that you believe it too. And that you are thankful for an opportunity to extend an invitation to a little one on behalf of this church and on behalf of God. And that invitation was for them to be invited to stay. Washed clean of inequities, celebrated in her family's choice for her to know God, and blessed with the waters of life. We only have one other sacrament in the United Methodist Church. The only other one that we practice is communion. A time for us to remember and give thanks for the bread of life and the cup of love as extended to people through Jesus Christ. Extended from this table to you today, if you believe. If you believe, that invitation includes an invitation to stay, to connect, ignite, and transform with us. An invitation to grow and to serve, to live and to worship and to give thanks and to be together in the name of Jesus. I pray that never makes you feel uncomfortable. But that every time you see bread and cup, that you're reminded that you are God's beloved. And that many more share in that table. And that you remember the words of Peter.
Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?
With God's help, may we never forget. And may we accept for ourselves and extend the invitation to others.